The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your family and your relatives, and go to the land that I will show you. I'll bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. You'll become famous and be a blessing to others. I will bless anyone who blesses you, but I will curse anyone who curses you. Everyone on earth will be blessed because of you. Abram was 75 years old when the Lord told him to leave the city of Haran. He obeyed and left with his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot, and all the possessions and slaves they had got while in Haran. They went to the land of Canaan. Abram went as far as the sacred tree of Moreh, in a place called Shechem. The Canaanites were still living in the land at the time. But the Lord appeared to Abram and promised, I will give you this land to your family forever. Abram then built an altar there for the Lord. You have not given me any children, and this servant of mine will inherit. Lord all powerful, you have not given me anything I could ask for except children. You give me everything I can ask for except children. When I die, Eliezer of Damascus will get all I own. You have not given me any children, and this servant of mine will inherit everything. The Lord replied, no, he won't. You'll have a son of your own, and everything you have will be his. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said, look at the sky and see if you can count the stars. That's how many descendants you will have. Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord was pleased with him. Abram was 99 years old when the Lord appeared to him again and said, I am the God all-powerful. If you obey me and always do right, I will keep my solemn promise to you and give you more descendants than can be counted. Abram bowed with his face to the ground, and God said, I promise that you will be the father of many nations, and that's why I now change your name from Abram to Abraham. I will give you lots of descendants, and in the future you will become they will become great nations. Some of them will even be kings. I will always keep the promise I have made to you and your descendants, because I am your God and their God. I will give you and them the land in which you are now a foreigner. I will give the whole land of Canaan to your family forever, and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Steve. Let's just pray and we'll get going. Father God, you have given us your word. Lord, we have the word of God, the Bible, the scriptures written down to direct us and point us to you. But Lord, you also gave your word, your son, Christ, incarnate into this world to show us how to live, to show us how to be in relationship with you, to show us how much your love and your mercy and your grace longs to lavish upon us. Lord, thank you that you have chosen us to be children of God. And that, Lord, you identify yourself as our God. Lord, bless us, we pray now. Lord, direct us in where we should be going this morning. Lord, direct my words and my mouth to speak what you would have be said. And Lord, give us all hearts open and ears open, Lord, to receive your word this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're carrying on our series of God, of his people. So just to recap again, so we're building layer on layer each week about what we're doing. The first week was our introduction, and we talked about the words of Jesus, where Jesus says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it said that God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. And we use that as our introduction to the idea that God identifies himself with people. He says, if you want to see what I'm like, look at how I have demonstrated my love. Look at who I have shown myself to be through the people that I have used. So that was our first week, our introduction week. And then we went on to Genesis, starting at Genesis, the God of Adam and Eve. And we looked at how God is the God of both creation and relationships. And we talked about how God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together is a relationship.
and a community of God's love. And that out of that love, love leads to life. So out of the abundance of God in himself, the relational God, comes creation. And how all that is created is a demonstration of who God is. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. It demonstrates what God is like. And we talk about how we are made to be in relationship with each other, to be a reflection of what God is like. Whether that's in a marriage relationship, whether that's in friendships, whether that's the community of the church. And we looked at how God says in Scripture how the church is the body of Christ. So when people come together in relationship and unity, it reflects Christ, reflects what God is like. And then we went on last week onto the God of Noah. And we looked at how God is the God of both justice and the God of mercy. And we looked at how we need to make sure we understand who God is, that God is holy and just, but equally is merciful and loving. And how we have to hold those things in balance, not to become so obsessed with God's holiness that we neglect the power of grace, and that we are so caught up in the love of God so as to neglect the holiness of God. We live in the balance, and we took the verse from Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous and just in all that he does, and loving and kind to all that he's made. God is both just and he's also loving. So this week we carry on, and we're moving on to the God of Abraham. We finally got there. We got to Abraham, one of our characters. And we're going to look at how God is the God of promise and of hope. That's the plan. Whether God does that this morning, I'm still not sure. We'll see what happens. So we heard read this morning three passages from the story of Abraham, from the beginning, really, of the story of Abraham. It goes on far too long to have the whole thing read to us this morning, and we might end up coming back to Abraham next week. I'm not sure yet. We'll see where we get to today. But before the story of Abraham, we engage with that, we have to just backstep ever so slightly in the scriptures. Back over into chapter 11 of Genesis, the very end couple of verses, talks about Abraham's dad, called Terah, whatever you want to call him. Now, what's interesting about the character of Terah is that he has a vision and a plan. It doesn't say it's a plan from God, but it might well have been. But it says that he lives in Ur of the Chaldeans, and he has a plan to take him and his family to Canaan. But as he's going along the journey from Ur to Canaan, he settles at Haran and then stays there for the rest of his life. And you might start seeing now the correlation to our children's talk earlier. What happened was he had a plan and a focus to go to Canaan. But when he got to Haran, maybe for a bit of a pit stop, he never planned to stay there. He planned to go to Canaan. But what happened is, he ends up staying there for the rest of his life. He never got to the place of his vision. He never got to the place of his dream. And how easily, as humans, but also particularly as Christians, that we have a calling from God, or God's put a vision or a dream in our heart, and we get all fired up and passionate that we leave where we've been, but we never get to the place where God wants us to be. We stop on the journey. Rather than carrying on the journey, we get stuck. We stop because we've gone far enough from where we were, but this now becomes comfortable. It's easy. I'll settle at this point in time. And particularly if you've been a Christian for a long period of time, you get to a situation where you know enough of the scriptures, you know enough of the love of God, church has become fairly straightforward and easy, you've made all the friendships in the church that you want to make, you spend time with those people, you come to church, You do your bit, and it's comfortable. It's straightforward. Doesn't take up too much effort on my part. I can still have all the freedom to do all the things that I choose to do. I know for me, I've been in that situation so many times before. And what happens when you're comfortable is you try and stop anything that's going to move you on. You see, we're all very good at starting things, but we're not necessarily as good as finishing things. You can start most things, but the question is, can you finish them? Because there's a word in the Bible which God uses again and again, faithfulness. Being faithful to the things of God, the things that God would have you do. I was here on Friday night for the Boys Brigade annual display, and they've been looking at the story of the talents, about how one of them doesn't do anything with his talent, but the others do. And to the ones that use their talents, the ones that God has given a gift to and says, go and use this, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done with it what the plan was. The other servant goes, I'll just keep hold of it because it's then easy. I haven't got to worry about it then. It's easy. Well done, good and faithful servant. Are we people who are full of faithfulness? You can start things which are absolutely incredible. I can start a fight with Mike Tyson, but I probably couldn't finish it. I know I couldn't finish it. Do you see, we can start things, but it's not about what we're starting, it's about what we're finishing, or what it is we are looking for God to achieve within that. And we talked in the first week about God being the God of creation, about this idea that he planted a garden in the east. Out of all of creation, he planted a garden specifically for Adam and Eve. And it says he put the man in the garden to work the garden. This idea that God has got a place for you and he's got a purpose for you being there. Adam and Eve could have just sat around the garden all day going, this is comfortable, this is nice. But God said, you've been put there to tend and look after the garden. You see, we can often say to ourselves, well, I'm in the right place. It's all okay. But are you doing the right thing? Or have you started something and actually you've gone, it's become too much effort now. Actually, it intrudes a bit too much on my time. So actually, although I've started it, I'm just going to leave that. And actually, God says throughout Scripture, it's about being faithful to what God has put in your heart. If God's given you a vision for something, then unless God tells you something different, the vision never changes. And it doesn't matter how old you are either. Because when we get to Abraham, what happens is Abraham has the same calling that his dad had. See, and if we don't do it, God will find someone else. It will be passed on to the next generation. Terah didn't go to Canaan. He never got there. Maybe if he had, he would have been the father of many nations. And maybe rather than singing the song Father Abraham, we'd be singing Father Terah. We don't know. But Terah never made it to Canaan. So the first thing that God calls Abraham to, he says, go to Canaan. Finish that vision. Finish that task. Go to Canaan. And then he adds on, I will then do amazing things through that. But when the word of God comes to Abraham, he's 75. He's 75. So for those of you here who are more senior in years, that does not write you off. That is not an excuse as to why you can't be doing things for God. Because Abraham was 75 when God called him to the thing that he would have him do. And then, when we get later on, when he starts talking to Abraham about children, he's 100. And what does Abraham and Sarah do? They laugh because they think, God, how can I have a child at 100? But we forget sometimes the fact that God's God, and actually what we think is irrelevant sometimes, because actually God's saying, well, I'm going to do this. Who are you to say God can't do it? So age is not an excuse. It doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're old or whether you're young, it's not an excuse to stop you from serving God. If God has put a calling on your life, if God's put a vision in your heart, that's the thing we need to be striving for and going with. When I was looking and going into ministry, I was trying to work out where to be at what times and how to get there and what to make happen. An elder in my church said, if the command hasn't changed, you carry on doing what you're doing. If the command hasn't changed, carry on doing what you're doing. Because if God has said stop it, then you carry on doing it. Why would you stop? But often what we do is we get comfortable somewhere and we go, it would be easier if I could stop now. If I can stop in Haran rather than Canaan. And that's the challenge for us, is to people who look to live for the vision and the place God's calling us to, rather than settling for what God's least is for us. If Abraham had stayed in Ur, he wouldn't have been the father of many nations. Only when he got to the place of Canaan did God start revealing more about the future that God had for Abraham and his descendants. We can sometimes settle for less than God would want us to have. Because God's got a plan for your life. He's got a vision and a purpose for your life. Now, we know the words of Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And when you settle, often the future becomes blurry. There is no future. And how often have you seen it with people who are more elderly who just give up hope, give up on life? And even younger people I've seen just give up on life because they've got no hope and no future. And you end up settling where you are, where you can't see the wood for the trees. And actually, God calls us to be constantly moving on the journey with him. So when we're moving, we then can see the vision that God has for us. We need to be people who are active in seeking God. Being faithful to God. Faithfulness is what God loves. So for Abraham, he gets called from Ur to go to Canaan. And when he gets to Canaan, lots of things happen to him, but then the word of God comes to him again and starts talking to him about his next stage of his future. See, God reveals things in the right time at the right moment. In the first passage we heard read, God reveals generally the big picture. Go to Canaan and I'm going to make your family and your descendants a great nation. Okay, God. Gets to Canaan and then God starts saying, okay, Abraham, how are things now? Abraham says, well, I haven't got any children. One of my servants will become my heir. And God says, no, you're going to have some children. You're going to have a child, and I'm going to make this promise happen in your life. So what did Abraham and Sarah do? Well, how can we make this possibly happen if Sarah's barren? I know, let's give Abraham the maidservant of Sarah. They try and make things happen in their timing rather than God's timing. And how often have people been in that situation? I have. When I have been trying to do something, I've gone, God's told me this is what's going to happen. This is the vision from God. And God's going, yeah, that is the vision from me, but I will make it come to pass in the right time and in the right moments. It's like, again, for me, coming to this church, I had a year from the time I left college to the time I got called to this church. And in that time, I applied for every job you can possibly imagine. And in every part of the world you can imagine. And I was pushing every door, shunting it forward, going, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. And actually, God's called me to this. And I was going for interviews and this, that, and the other. I was trying to make something happen that wasn't of God. And I met with churches who were keen to have me come to be their pastor, but it wasn't what God wanted. It's what we all wanted because we were all getting a bit itchy for a minister. So they wanted a minister, so they weren't kind of really maybe in the frame of mind to think, is this the right person? And I'm going, I need a job at the least. And going, well, I can preach, I can do this, I can do this, that, and the other, therefore, why not? And it would be following the call of God on my life, but it wouldn't be what God wanted. It wouldn't be the plan of God. And so, by waiting on God for his timing and purposes, this came about. And this, as I said to you before, is far and above anything I could have ever imagined would be the situation I'd be in right now. If I had settled for something less, something that was comfortable, easy, fitted my timing, fitted what I was after at the time that I wanted it, I would not have had God's best for my life. If you had settled for a minister who wasn't right for this church, you'd have been settling for something which wasn't God's best for you. We make sure we are striving towards things in God's timing, what God would have us do. Not trying to make it happen ourselves. And a lot of churches, a lot of people in churches, trying to make things happen themselves. We run groups in the church. We put things on as a church. And sometimes we can try and make mission happen. We can try and make people come to faith. We can try and make people come to church. And there's nothing wrong with running activities. We need to be doing that. But are they activities that God wants us to be running? Are they the things that God wants us to be doing? Or are we trying to make it happen so we feel that we're doing the right thing? So let's not settle for what is less than God's best for what we're doing, as individuals and as a church. We need people who are striving to do what God would have us do and follow the vision and calling he's put on our life as a church. That's where we need to be. So then, God comes to Abraham again and says, you're going to have an actual child of your own, rather than what you have tried to make happen. But just going back to that a second, though, what does God say about Ishmael? I'll bless him as well. This is where the mercy and the grace of God come into account. That even when we do things in our own strength, and even when we try and push things and make things happen that aren't maybe God's best for our life, in God's mercy and God's grace, because he's loving, and in the words of Romans 8:28, which we all know probably, all things work together for good to those who love him. No matter how rubbish it can get, God, in his faithfulness and mercy, will still cause a blessing upon that. And that is really comforting, to know that actually, even when I mess up, God uses it for his glory. And I used to have a saying that I used to say to people, they say to me, how do I know what the will of God is for my life is? Well, how do I know if I should be doing the right thing? And I said, well, ultimately, if it's the right thing before God, you're in the right track. And if it's not, God's mercy and God's grace is sufficient enough to bless it anyway. We want to be going for stream one, for living in the purposes and plan of God. But the grace of God is that actually when we don't quite manage to make that, God still chooses to bless us anyway. Which is the story which we've seen again and again. In the creation story, the best that God wanted for Adam and Eve was to live in the garden with him. But when they choose to go their own way, God says, right, we can still do something with this. It's not the best I have for you, it's not the best plan, but I'm going to do something to bless you anyway. The story of Noah, God was going to wipe out the whole of humanity. He says, actually, there's someone who actually is righteous, and I'm going to, in my mercy and grace, restore creation back to what it could have been. And that's like for us. So the heartening thing this morning is, even if you've chosen to go the wrong way sometimes, or maybe you've done, or maybe something in your life or a vision that you haven't quite fulfilled, God will still continue to bless you. It's not a blockage to his blessing, but it might not be the best that God would have you be doing. So for Abraham and Sarah, God comes to them again and says, okay, you've had Ishmael, and yes, I'll bless him, but actually, I still want the first plan that I had for your life to come to be. That promise has never gone. The promise, when God gives you a promise, he means it, and he doesn't change from that promise. But the promises of God come in the form of covenants. It's not just a one-way thing, it's a two-way thing. It's God saying, we'll be in a promise together. And God says, if you follow what I'm saying, then the promise that comes with that is whatever it may be. If you go a different direction, then you become responsible for that direction. And we talked about this the other week, about actually, when we're in obedience to God, God takes full responsibility for us. When we go our own way, we're taking responsibility upon our shoulders for our walk and our path. So what God's saying in covenant is, when you choose to be in obedience to God, in covenant with God, the blessings and the promise of God are there for you. But when we go our own way, the promise of God stops, because we're not doing what God has required for that promise to be. And which is what you see with the history of Israel, is that God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. But the caveat he gives to Moses is, you will be a great nation in the land of Israel as long as you are worshipping and following me. As soon as they turn away from God, the exile takes place, and they get kicked out of their own country. And that's the story of the prophets, is saying, Israel, turn back to God, otherwise there's going to be consequences to the actions. As soon as you choose to go a different way, a different path, the promises of God, you're not living in them. You're not being part of that. So a covenant promise comes to Abraham and says, okay, you've gone that direction, but that promise still stands if you come back and live within it. It says, you and Sarah are going to have a child at the age of 99, which is just balmy. But God is God. And what are the words when God comes to Mary about having a child? For nothing is impossible with God. Amen to that. Nothing is impossible with God. With God. On our own, it becomes impossible. But with God, it's possible. Again, it's the promise. The with God bit. If we live with God, anything is possible. Anything can take place. But there's another thing about this. It was the fact that you will have a child. Not God will do it for you. God's going to make it happen. But it took an effort on Abraham and Sarah's part in order for that promise to come to pass. It wasn't an immaculate conception, was it? See, there are things that we do need to do in order for God's promises to come to be. It's not just saying, well, I'll sit here until God does it for me. God says, I'm doing it with you. Everything is impossible with God. So on our journey, there's things that God will call us to do, which we need to do. We can sort of sit back and go, well, I won't do that because God will do it. And God's saying, well, actually, this is a two-way thing. This is a covenant, two-way. We need to do our part, and God does his part. And it says in the words of Proverbs, a man plans his heart, but God directs his steps. Actually, there are things that we need to do, there are things that we need to make plans for, but God will ultimately direct us where we should be going. If God hadn't come to Abraham and Sarah and said, you are going to have a child, maybe that wouldn't have come to pass. He had to tell them, this is what you need to do. He directed them in what they should be doing, and then it came to be. So we're seeking God's direction for the things that we should be doing. But what happens as well in this part of the story, when there's a covenant being made, God changes the name of Abraham and of Sarah. So initially it's Abram and Sarai, and it turns to Abraham and Sarah. Abram means exalted father, which probably was referring to the relationship he had with God. He was someone who exalted God and worshipped God. But Abraham means father of many nations. He says, I'm going to give you a new identity. So this is linking in some of the things we've been talking about in previous weeks about identity. God changes our identity. He says, live in the identity that actually, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Live out that promise. Live as someone whose identity is the promise of God. Sarah, live out as someone who lives in the promise of God. And then do the things that I've required you to do. And then we'll see God's fullness and God's promise and vision come to pass. It says that when God came to Abraham at that particular time of covenant, it says Abraham falls to the floor. He kneels on the ground. He falls face down because he recognizes who God is. And God comes and gives a vision and a promise. And he establishes what Abraham's identity is and directs him where he should go. This links back to what we've been saying these last couple of weeks. God is our Father, and when we find our identity in him, when we recognize who he is, it gives us identity. We are children of God, called by God with a plan and a purpose. And out of knowing that we are children of the Father comes the need for obedience, to go, to live in the plan and the pattern of God. Abraham exhibits this. He recognized who God was. He got to know what God was like. And God said, the identity I have for you is this. You're going to be the father of many nations. The identity he had was the promise of God. And so Abraham then lived in relationship with God, walking to try and find out what that plan looked like, walking in obedience to God. And Abraham does not get it right throughout the story of Abraham. He messes up time and time again, and he goes all around the houses, and he ends up, you know, telling Pharaoh that his wife's his sister and all this kind of thing, and he starts lying and all these different things. But ultimately, God says, my plan for you doesn't change. My purpose for you doesn't change. The identity that I've given you doesn't change. We're on a journey to try and get to where God wants us to be. Sometimes that will seem straightforward. Sometimes we'll take detours. But the thing we should try and avoid is stopping and getting comfortable. Because whilst we're moving, God can keep directing us. When we're static, what can God do? What can he do? He's there saying, my plan for you is this, but you won't budge from where you are. And maybe sometimes we need a bit of a kick to get up from where we are and start saying, God, actually, what is your purpose and your plan for my life? No matter who you are today, no matter how old you are, whether young or old, the word of God comes to you and says, live out the calling that God has placed on your life. Follow the vision God gave you, and be directed by God in where to go with that. But sometimes that's painful, and sometimes that means putting aside things which need to be put aside. See, for Abraham, the sign of covenant was circumcision. He had to cut something away in order for new life and new promises to be fulfilled. He had to mark out and say, actually, I am different. Something had to be demonstrated. And for us as Christians, things like baptism and communion are signs that we are living in the promise of God. That's why we do it. It's an outward sign of God's grace to us. But for us, to get out of our comfort zone, sometimes something drastic needs to take place. It needs to be a circumcision of things in our life sometimes. Sometimes that can be things that we're doing. We need to stop doing certain things and look for what God would have us be doing. Sometimes we just need to put aside our own desires about things that we would like to do and say, God, what do you have me do? Sometimes people don't serve either their community or the church because actually it would intrude upon my time. And it would stop me having the freedom to do the things that I want to do. So people won't put themselves down or won't commit fully to something because they want to have that freedom to be able to back away as soon as they possibly can because that means they can then go and do things that they want to go and do. But if everyone has that attitude, the thing gets done. Sometimes we need to break relationships with people in order to be able to move on. So we have to put aside things that have been emotionally, things that have kept us in a certain place. We need to cut those off and say, actually, that's something old and God's got something new for me. And that's a really hard one. Creates relationships we've emotionally invested into them. Sometimes it could be a business plan, which you've financially invested into. You've done something, but actually it's not working. And God says, he's cut that away and start afresh. Sometimes things need to change in order for God's direction and plan to start working their way forward. There are things in all of our lives which maybe we've buried deep down. And God says, for growth to take place, for change to take place, that needs to be cut away. That needs to be sorted out. There could be all manner of things. I'm just naming just a few things here and throwing them out here. So for all of us, we've got to think about, are there things which are actually stopping us from moving forward? Actually, we become comfortable in something. Sometimes we can get comfortable in things which aren't good. We can get comfortable in negative thought patterns, thinking that we're nothing to give, that we're a no one. And God says, that's not true. The identity of God is to say, you have a plan, you have a purpose. So we've got to be people who look to be honest and real with God, so that God can do what God wants to do with our lives, so we can start living out God's best plan for us. And say, it doesn't mean to say the journey then becomes simple and straightforward. It's full of challenges and difficult times, but you know it's leading somewhere. It has a plan, it has a future. So this morning I want to leave you with this idea. Actually, where are you going? Have you started things and actually need to finish them? Are there things you need to be faithful to? Have you written yourself off because you think, I can't be part of this? God can't use me anymore. I'm in the wrong stage of life. Have we maybe heard God's call in our life and tried to make it happen ourselves and then gone, oh dear. The hope for it in that situation, say, God will still bless it. Are we people who actually understand God's identity of who we are? Do we know what God's plan for our life is? Are we people who are seeking God for that? And actually, are there things which are stopping us from moving forward? Things that actually need to be stopped. Things that need to be cut away. Things that need to bring life back to us. I don't know where we find ourselves today, but that's the challenge of Scripture. But God is the God of promise and of hope. He doesn't want to leave you on your own. He wants to do life with you. But in order for God to be part of what you're doing, you've got to be honest with him. One final thought. When Abraham left to go to Canaan, it says he took everything that he had with him. He didn't leave something behind just in case he wanted to come back. He took everything with him. He committed everything that he had to the plan and the vision God had given him. And the New Testament teaches us to offer our whole lives to God, to let God be part of everything that we do. In the way that we think, in the way that we eat, in the way that we drink, in the way that we use our money, in the way that we do all sorts of things. Is God the authority in that? Or do we like to hold bits back because it's comfortable, so that actually any time we need to, we can revert back to where we've been? Abraham took everything that he had with him on the journey. He didn't leave something behind. Because if you leave something behind, it means you can always come back. And God says, that is immaturity. I want you to be maturing. I've got somewhere better for you. And how can I give you fullness in your life if part of your life is still over there? John 10:10, I've come to give life and life in its fullness. That means giving all of our life to him, not just parts of it. Let's pray.